Welcome to Pampered Pregnant and Beyond. Today we bring you Ab Rehab After Cesarean with our guest speaker, Helene Byrne of BeFit Mom. Helene Byrne is a prenatal and postpartum fitness expert, author, speaker, and founder of BeFit Mom. Her mission is to help women to stay fit and healthy during and after their pregnancies and to inspire and motivate women to lead their entire families to better health and wellness. Helene will discuss how to safely and quickly restore the abdominal wall after a cesarean delivery. You'll learn a series of safe rehabilitation exercises that you can easily incorporate into your daily life. Helene will also share with us what common abdominal exercises you should avoid, as well as scar mobilization techniques. Please visit Helene on the web at www.befitmom.com. Callers, you will be muted during the call. Helene will offer opportunities to ask questions. When she does, simply unmute yourself by selecting *6. Remute yourself by selecting *6 again. And now, I am proud to welcome Helene Byrne.
Hi there, Tiffany.
Hello.
So thanks for having me on today. It's quite a pleasure.
I'm glad to have you with us. I'm looking forward to everything you have to share with us.
Yeah. So let's get started right away. And the first thing I want to talk about is actually what a cesarean is not, because there's a lot of confusion out there, both with women who maybe have had a cesarean, as well as just in the general population and with women who are pregnant. There's a misconception out there that when you have a cesarean delivery, that your muscles are actually cut during the surgery, and that when you need to rehab your abdominal wall, that is part of your rehab, is rehabbing muscles that have been cut and sutured together. And what really happens in a cesarean is they actually go through, they make a little cut on your skin and they pull it apart, and then they don't cut muscle. What happens instead is that doctors will very carefully go through what's called your fascia. And fascia, you can think of it as like little plastic baggies that surround every muscle, and it keeps it allows the muscles to be able to move against and glide against each other. And they carefully separate these fascia levels, and then clamp those muscle levels apart. Then that is what exposes the uterus. Then they do, in fact, cut through the uterus, take the baby out, and they sew you back up. So one of the things that is very important to know about, we understand that, we look down and we have our cesarean scar, and we can see that healing. But what we don't see is that the fascia tissue needs to knit together. And this is one of the key things, and that we want to get that, make sure that we don't do any movements or exercises which will compromise that fascia tissue knitting together nice and strongly. So that, because fascia tissue does not have a direct blood flow, it takes a while to come together, quite a bit. So when you have a scene, you see your scar, healing together pretty quickly, and it looks like, wow, and, 3 weeks or so, maybe 4 weeks or so, it's like, wow, I'm completely knit together. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean that your fascia has completely knit together. So you can't use your scar as a real sign of, oh, well, my scar is completely healed, it's been 3 weeks, and I'm ready to go. Not necessarily so. And some of the things that right in that beginning period, when you're really thinking about wanting to protect your fascia, there are a couple of things that women should not do. And the first one is we don't want to lift and carry heavy objects. You know, so this is not the time for you to be moving furniture. Even if you are really strong, you're an athletic woman, you go to the gym, you work out, you do squats, no. Even at this point, no lifting and carrying in heavy objects. And because we have this delicate fascia area that needs to knit together, when you, for instance, are going out, you're at the point where you're able to do like a short fitness walk with your baby, you want to use a stroller. You don't want to be carrying your baby in either a front pack or a sling, because that can strain fascia tissue as well. So you want to think of that first period as being really, it's not just about reconditioning from the surgery itself and bouncing back, though that is a major part of it, but we do have this underlying fascia issue that we really want to take care of. And it's a little tough because we can't see it. And feel-wise, we might feel some like discomfort if we lift something too hard or we work ourselves too much. You might feel some discomfort. But you won't feel it on your scar. You'll feel it more internally. So those are two big points, not lifting heavy things, especially something that you have to really squat down and pick up off the floor. And then you want to make sure that you're not carrying your baby all the time in a front pack or a sling. And now the third issue I want to talk about, when we're right in this initial postpartum reconditioning from a cesarean, is I want to talk about how to do what's called a log roll. And this is a movement that actually we should be teaching this right away during pregnancy. You want to move your body during pregnancy this way, and you want to also pay really good attention after a C, that when you're rising up from a lying down position, that's called the supine position. So that's, you know, maybe you're in bed, or maybe you've lie down on the ground and have your knees up on an ottoman to rest your lower back or something like that. But when you're rolling over from a lying down position, it's called a log roll. And what you want to do is move your entire spine in one piece as you roll over to the side. And that sounds easy and it sounds simple. But in real life, what we tend to do is some of us might start moving our legs first and our pelvis will twist over. Then maybe our upper body will finally start moving over to the side. So for our listeners, I want you to actually practice this and practice it in slow motion. You know, if you're lying down in bed or on the ground, what does it really take? You want to keep your head, your chest, and your pelvis area in one piece as you roll to the side. And it feels a little funny to do this when you first start putting it in your body, but it's a really important technique because this movement prevents abdominal strain. If you try to roll up without doing a log roll, and you do all this twisting in your spine, then you try to mobilize your abdominal muscles because it takes abdominal muscles to move yourself from a side-lying position into a sitting position. That is going to cause strain because your body is torqued, and we want to specifically avoid that. So what you do is we're going to use the idea that you're in bed. You do this log roll where everything rolls directly to the side. So now what? You're directly to the side. So what you want to do in the second step of getting out of bed is in one movement, you want to allow your feet to drop off the side of your bed, your lower legs to drop off the side of your bed as you use your arm, the closest one that's towards your mattress, and help push yourself up to a sitting position. And that's a way of sitting up out of bed without twisting your spine. So you first do the log roll over to the side, then it's, you can think actually feet and hands ready together. Feet drop, hands push. So you end up pushing yourself up into a sitting position in one piece, and your spine stays in one piece. So you want to get out of bed every morning like that. And you can also do the opposite movement when you're getting in bed. So you want to make sure that directly after a C, that you're not doing a lot of twisting of your spine and some of these everyday movements, like who even thinks about how we get out of bed? Like no one, we just get out of bed. But right after a C, you really want to pay attention to this. So when you're down on the ground or on the floor and you want to rise up, you can start the exact same way, you log roll. But instead of log rolling all the way to your side, you keep that log roll going, and you log roll until you come to all fours. So you roll from your side, then as you start transitioning from your side, you just put your hands down into the ground, and your knees will naturally come to the ground, and you'll find yourself in what in fitness we call the quadruped position, or the all fours position. So now you've gotten yourself up onto all fours, and now you have to do the next part, which is getting from there up to standing. And the best thing to do when you're postpartum is to either hold on to a piece of furniture or a wall, put one hand out there, lift one foot up, so now you're ready to stand. Then with a hand on a piece of furniture so you've got great balance and you don't have to worry about falling, then you simply push yourself up onto your legs and walk into the standing position. If you don't have a piece of furniture to hold on to or a wall nearby where you can help yourself find your upright balance, what you can do instead is from the quadruped position, you bring one knee up, so now you're kind of half kneeling. You're kneeling on one leg, but the other leg is in a bent, your foot is down in a ready-to-step position. Then put one or both hands on the thigh of that leg, and then you can actually use your arms and push into your thigh a little bit as you stand up. And that's a way of standing safely if you don't have a piece of furniture to help yourself stand up with. So that's another great little cesarean technique that you want to use. Now, a lot of women are really shocked right after they had a C, because it can be even difficult to stand up. The first time you try to do that in the hospital, you're going to be like, no, I can't do that. Forget it. But the nurse is going to be like, oh, you're walking, honey, and they make you walk, and that's a good thing. We need to walk after a cesarean. That is the healthiest physical action that we can do. Walking increases blood flow, which increases circulation. And that increased circulation is what speeds healing. That's where our bodies say, okay, more of the good guys are going in, more of the repair tissue is going in. But also, part of that repair process is carrying out tissue that we don't want anymore. And if you're too sedentary directly after a C, and I know it can be easy, it's major surgery, all of these changes as well as dealing with a new baby, you know, you can get the feeling that, oh, maybe I should do nothing. But what happens if you don't have enough circulation is you actually get kind of a little traffic jam in your body. There's a lot of swelling at the site, and that decreases circulation. So just by walking a short distance every day and making walking part of your routine can help a lot after a cesarean. So as I said before, if you need to walk with your baby, use a stroller. And even if you're living in some place where the weather is bad, I can't get outside, it's pouring rain or it's freezing out or whatever, put your baby in a stroller in your house or in your apartment. And this sounds crazy, but this works. Walk around your dining room table, walk around the living room, walk into your kitchen, do a loop through the hall, repeat. And do a little walking path so that you can get 5 or 10 minutes of walking in your house if that's the only way that you can fit it in. It will make a big difference. Just a little bit more physical activity, particularly walking, will really help. Now, when you start walking, if you have not been very fit before, a lot of women in our society today, we're pretty sedentary. We have pretty sedentary lives. We work at desks. And when you start off, you might find that walking for 5 minutes continuously is actually kind of a lot for your body. And if you find that to be true, that's okay. Don't worry about it. You will get your strength back. You will get your stamina back. So walk for about 5 minutes. If you can walk for 5 minutes without undue fatigue, then you can start continuing it off for a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. Of course, the best thing is if you live in a place where you can get outdoors, where the weather is good enough, your neighborhood is safe enough, planning on doing a little outdoor stroller walk with your baby is a great idea, not just for the sea, but for all new moms, because walking raises metabolism as well as circulation. And we want to raise our metabolism and get things going back and building our strength back up in our bodies. And walking is a great way to do that. And it turns out that walking with a stroller actually provides a pretty significant amount of cardiovascular exercise. So in the long term, developing a walking habit with your baby on most days of the week will actually help you lose weight faster than almost anything out there. And we can do it. We don't have to belong to a gym or, you know, hire a trainer. All we need is a stroller. We get out there and walk. So those are some tips. Oh, I've got one more. I need to say one more tip for that initial cesarean recovery. And that is, if you find yourself developing a cough, or maybe you're sneezing from allergies, you have a cold or something like that, what you want to do, if you feel that cough coming on, grab a big soft pillow and hug it into your body so that when you cough, your abdominals have some support. Because that is going to help support not only your scar, it's going to help support your fascia. And it's also, if you press it in nice and deep, you're going to support your uterus too. Because that pressure of cough, 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 what that does is that it's like suddenly blowing up a balloon and then dropping it. Suddenly blowing up a balloon and then dropping it. And that stretches your sutures, and it will stretch your scar tissue of your fascia from pulling back together. And that's what we don't want to have happen. We don't want to stretch scar tissue. We want to actually do the opposite, is we want to put compression forces whenever we can on our scar tissue and help push it together. So if you have the misfortune of developing a cough or you have allergies, I know we're coming into spring and allergy season is just around the corner, keep one of those big pillows handy so that you can always use it right there. Now, if you find yourself, uh-oh, I'm someplace out, you know, in public or maybe I'm in my car, whatever, you take your hand on your lower abdominal and push it in so that you can provide some support. And you want this pretty low. If you're going to use the hand technique, you really want to get right down near your pelvic bone because that's where you scars and that's where you want to push in. So it's not pushing out on top of the tummy. It's pushing in really on the bottom of your tummy. So these are precautions that you really want to have going for about the first 6 weeks postpartum. And what will happen is you'll have your follow-up OBGYN appointment, and your doctor will look at your scar, and almost all the time you have, you know, no problem. Occasionally there's some problems with, you know, a little bit of, you might have a little bit of pus on your scar, but not, that generally doesn't happen. It's easy to keep clean, and you want to do that too, obviously. So, now, you've gotten through that initial phase. Now what? What should you do? Well, the good news is that after your scar tissues have completely healed, so we're now at the post 6 week, scar tissue is really strong. Most people don't realize it, but scar tissue is actually stronger than the original tissues that we lay down in our body. You know, when we are the developing fetus and we're laying down our own muscle tissue and our own ligamentous tissue, etc., it gets laid down in a very neat pattern. Well, scar tissue doesn't. You can think of the old-fashioned way of darning a sock and stitches going in and out and in and out in all sorts of different directions. Well, that's how we lay down scar tissue. So it's very, very strong. You don't have to worry about damaging your scar or opening up your scar. And this is an area of confusion because your scar can be tender, without a doubt. You can have tenderness at the site for a long time. You can have swelling at the site for a long time. But that tenderness you might feel doesn't mean that you're hurting your scar. Once that scar tissue is knit, it is knit together. So that's an area where you can feel good about it, and you can start abdominal reconditioning and specialized postpartum exercises, just like your sisters that have had a vaginal delivery. You are now ready to enter the first phase of postpartum reconditioning. So, a lot of us think, okay, I've had my baby, and I'm just going to get down on the ground, and I am going to punch out 100 crunches every day. I'm going to get my abs back. I'm going to get strong. And actually, that's what we don't want to do. So in order to explain, to talk about crunches, and to talk about why we don't want to do crunches and other types of bicycle exercises, pretty much any exercise, any abdominal exercise where you lift your upper body off the floor against the force of gravity, which is what all crunches are, all oblique curls are. For those of us that do Pilates, any exercise where you use the head float position, whether it's the 100s or the scissors or what have you, we don't want to do those types of exercises. And the reason is those exercises primarily work the external abdominal muscles. Mostly they work what's called the rectus abdominis. And that's the muscle that we call the six-pack, or that guys like to develop in the six-pack for a really, you can actually see it on very muscular men, the little ridges down the center. That's your rectus abdominis. That muscle, it does pretty much one thing, and it flexes the spine. So it brings the rib cage closer to the pelvis, which, you know, in most crunches, that's what we want to do in a crunch. But there's a problem with that, and also the variation of that exercise where you take a little twist, maybe you reach towards your heel, or maybe you take your elbow across to your knee. That works the external obliques as well as a little bit of the internal obliques. But what happens, if you were to be postpartum and you were to look at this and you were to get down on the ground and do a crunch right now and say, okay, well, what is my belly doing? You would roll up and you'd look down in your belly and you'd go, oh my God, because your belly would just pop right out. It would balloon right out. And women look at this and go, oh, you know, this looks like my 6-month pregnancy mound, or the mound I had when I was 5 months pregnant. Because the deepest muscle of our abdominal wall, which is called the transverse abdominis, is not strong enough to prevent this ballooning out. And we have this is a really important concept for flattening the abdominal wall after pregnancy. In fitness, what we practice is what we get. So the fancy phrase for that is called muscle specificity theory. But I like to think of it as kind of like the duh theory. Well, yeah, of course. You know, the more you swim, the better you get at being a swimmer. You know, the more crunches you do, the better you get at doing crunches. But if the abdominal wall is bulging outward during exertion, well, guess what's happening there? You are stretching your scar tissue. That's not going to feel very well. It's not going to damage it, but it's not going to be very comfortable. But also, we're stretching the midline of our body, the linea alba, and I'll talk a little bit more about that and a little bit about abdominal separation in a minute. But most of all, it's training the abdominal wall to push outward. Well, what do we really want the abs to do? We want them to pull inward because that's how they provide support for your spine and your pelvis. So when we start abdominal reconditioning, we want to start with the deepest layer first. That's that transverse abdominis. Now, a lot of us probably have never even met a transverse abdominis exercise, so it's like, oh, what is that? Well, the transverse abdominis, in fitness, we call this the internal girdle. When this muscle contracts, it actually compresses the abdominal wall. It brings the midline closer together, and it pulls the abdomen closer to the spine. So this is the first step for abdominal reconditioning, is finding the muscle and then strengthening it. So we're going to talk about a couple of transverse abdominis. Sometimes I call this muscle the TVA because it's just easier to say. TVA isolations. I'm going to talk about a standing one, and if you want to read an exercise description of this, you can find this exercise description on my website. So if you go to www.befitmom.com, and you select pre and postpartum fitness and exercise, and if you go to strength and core conditioning during pregnancy, and you scroll all the way down, you'll find two safe, effective abdominal exercises for pregnancies. And what you'll find here is an isolation strengthener for the transverse abdominis, and then a pelvic tilt against the wall. Now, these two exercises are also great postpartum exercises. And this first one, especially finding how to contract your transverse abdominis while you're leaning against a wall, is a great place to start. So let's talk about that one. You want to just back yourself up onto a wall. You want your feet maybe 12 inches away from the wall, knees slightly bent. You don't have to go down into a full squat. And use your hands, place your hands behind you, and then just lean your body against the wall. Now, when you're in this position, your knees are slightly bent, your feet are facing forward, about hip-width apart. This is a pretty comfortable position. You're not going down into a deep squat. You're not challenging your thighs. And you can really feel, oh, yeah, most of my body weight is really just hanging back onto that wall. If you feel some pressure in your knees, it means that your feet are too far from the wall. So just you can just back up your heels a little bit, take a little step back. So you find that really kind of comfy position leaning against the wall. Now, when your spine is in the neutral position, you are going to have a little bit of your waistline is going to be off the wall. And that's what we want. We don't want to start this exercise with your entire spine pressed into the wall. We want what's called a neutral spine. And when you have a neutral spine, all of your spine's natural S curves will be intact. So don't squish your spine or press it down or do anything or tuck your pelvis under significantly in order to get your lower back into the wall. This is not about pressing your lower back into the wall. This is about neutral. So then what you want to do here is take a nice, big, natural inhale. And as you exhale, you're going to compress your abdominal wall, tighten your abdominal wall as much as you can while you strongly hiss. And I'm going to hiss right now for you, and it sounds like this. So that was a pretty long hiss, wasn't it? It wasn't a short hiss. It was a constant pressure hiss out. While you're hissing through your teeth, your belly is getting tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter. So they work together, the hissing and the belly compression. Now, this is unlike a lot of other abdominal exercises you've done before because your spine does not move. That means your pelvis doesn't rock either front or back. Your lower spine, the part that's underneath your waistline where you've got that natural little curve, does not flatten out. And your upper body, this is a common one, your upper body, you might have the tendency to want to pull and almost like do a mini crunch in this exercise. Well, you don't want to do that. Keep your spine completely still because the transverse abdominis does not move bone. So we're actually working the abdominal wall without moving bone. So this is kind of really different. Almost every abdominal exercise you've ever done in your life, you're moving bone somewhere, right? You're moving your pelvis, you're moving your ribs, you're moving. Well, on this one, it's just the abs that move. So this is important. And then you're going to take 3 repetitions of this breath. So you've done the breath, you've done the compression. You're going to keep that little tightness into your abdominal wall while you inhale naturally. Now, the first time you do this, yeah, your belly might just fall out. Oops. Because a lot of us, if we don't have this transverse abdominis training, we don't really have the neuromuscular specificity yet to go, okay, well, okay, that's breathing. Okay, yeah, that's diaphragm. Oh, nope, that's abdominal. So what this exercise actually teaches us is proper breathing that's outside of using the abdominals. So, because for a lot of us, when we inhale and we squeeze and we hold our abdominals tight, well, the moment we exhale, boonk, our abs fall out again. So we don't want to do that. We want to keep the abs that little bit of tightness and then do another set of inhale normally, abs tight, exhale, hiss, and you're going to try to get it even tighter the second time. Hold that tightness for a second, breathe naturally. Then when you're ready, you're going to do a third repetition. Inhale deeply, abs stay tight. Exhale, really strong hiss, and your abs are going to get tighter and tighter. Now, the first time you try this exercise, you might have just a little bit of tightness in your abs. It might not move a whole lot, but it will move a little bit. That's okay. If that's where your transverse abdominis contracts, that's where you need to start. So just as long as you keep your spine completely still, you will be working your transverse abdominis. You can also help your transverse abdominis and wake it up a little bit if you need to by taking your hands across your lower abdomen and bring your fingertips all the way to the side of your waist. So this is pretty far off to the side because that's where your transverse abdominis is. We don't want to be coming around the midline or, you know, working the rectus abdominis. And on that inhale, exhale, the hiss, if you just take your fingers that you've done the belly cross, your fingers are crossed on your belly, and with your fingertips, just give a little tug, 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 tug. As you do the exhale hiss, you're going to feel your transverse abdominis contract even more. And it's going to be like, oh, yeah, you're talking to me? Yeah, okay, here it is. Okay, I'll contract for you. And if you can kind of wake it up that way, and that is a great first way to find your transverse abdominis. So if you go down to the second, I have a second exercise description that called pelvic tilt on the wall. Now, you hear pelvic tilt a lot in postpartum, and the problem with pelvic tilt is that most of the time it's not taught very well, or it's taught flat out wrong. When you do a pelvic tilt exercise, you need to make sure that the big gluteus maximus, that's your butt muscle, does not engage. Most of us, when we do a pelvic tilt exercise, we automatically squeeze the butt. And a lot of times in fitness, it's actually taught that way. Well, when you're using that big butt muscle, guess what happens to your abs? Nothing. They'll actually bulge out when you're postpartum, what we don't want to do. Instead, when you come into a pelvic tilt, you want to only use your lower abdominal muscles. And when you do a pelvic tilt, you want to cue yourself by saying, okay, I'm going to move my pubic bone and just pull it slightly closer to my rib cage. And that's the correct cueing for pelvic tilt. And if you do it that way, you will in fact isolate just your lower abdominal muscles. You'll have a lower spine flexion. And this is important both for everyone after pregnancy. We don't want to do upper spine flexion because we have too much upper spine flexion already in the body. Pregnancy increases that upper body curve, which is called kyphosis. We don't want to do that. We want to actually work on lower spine flexion. And there it is in that small pelvic tilt position. Now, when you start this, this is going to be a pretty small physical action. You're not going to get a huge movement out of your body. It's small. So if you look at this section, second exercise called pelvic tilt exercise on the wall, you can see that it starts with transverse abdominis isolations. So then what you want to do is you're going to add on this little cueing of you've done the inhale, exhale, your abdominals are really tight, then you want to make this very small pelvic movement by pulling your pubic bone up towards your sternum. Take care that you don't take your sternum down. You want to keep your upper body open and relaxed as you're leaning against the wall. A great image for finding this is imagine that you are a puppet. You're a marionette. And all you're going to do is pull the string on your pubic bone. That's it. And you'll notice that the abdominal wall, especially the lower abs, will tighten. And this is a great exercise post-C because this particular exercise, not only are you compressing your abs and making it smaller on the transverse plane, but when you move into this plane of the body, it actually squishes your scar tissue closer together. And it compresses scar tissue, and it relieves pressure on your scar tissue. So here's another way of working the abs. These are your first two beginner exercises. Now, when you add on the pelvic tilt on the wall, I want you to look down. Look down at your abs and to see, does your belly poke out at all, any little bit? Does your belly button pop out? Have you gone from looking at, you know, a little small, or maybe I kind of looked, I went from looking 6 months pregnant to 4 months pregnant when I contracted my transverse abdominis. Look down. When you do the pelvic tilt, your abdominal wall should not come out at all. And for a lot of us, it does because a lot of us have learned how to do crunches not very well in our body. And we automatically push out or bear down a little bit when we do, when we activate abdominal muscles. If this happens to you, take your hands on one side of your lower belly, and just like we cued the transverse abdominis, you're actually going to take your fingertips and mold and pull your abs and help your abs move in to your body a little bit. This is not cheating. This is training, helping to train the muscle to do its job and to create the right position in your body. So if you are one of those people that tend to balloon outwards unintentionally, oh, I had no idea I did and did that, use your hands so that you start training your abs to do this specialized postpartum technique. And I call this technique belly scooping. And belly scooping is a key abdominal technique to flattening the abs after pregnancy. And if you take a look at my book, I'm the author of a book called Exercise After Pregnancy, How to Look and Feel Your Best, as well as an award-winning DVD called Bounce Back Fast, Postnatal Core Conditioning, you'll see that there are many exercises that work this transverse abdominis combination with pelvic tilt, and it really makes the belly pull inward, tighten and pull inward. This is the key to flattening the abs after pregnancy. So both in the book and the DVD, there are a lot of other exercises that once you learn this basic technique, then you can start challenging yourself even more and getting stronger and stronger and stronger through the transverse abdominis and then through that lower spine flexion. So I know I talked a lot about there's a lot of exercise physiology in this talk, and you probably learned a lot of stuff that, oh, well, I've never heard of the transverse abdominis before. I'm not sure about muscles. Well, everything that I just talked about is laid out on my website. And what you want to do to find this basic knowledge about postpartum reconditioning, go to www.befitmom.com, select on that navigation bar at the top, prenatal postpartum fitness, then you'll see an index article, and you want to click on postpartum abdominal reconditioning. And this will teach you about the layers of your abdominal wall and how they work, and about what postpartum reconditioning is all about, because it's not about crunches. You want to, probably all the exercises that you've ever learned for your abs, you actually don't want to do when you're postpartum. Those are movements that we don't want to do. Now, we're running out of time, and I don't want to go over, but I want to mention just really quickly abdominal separation. You want to do the abdominal separation test in your body before you do abdominal reconditioning to see whether you have it or not. Follow my website. It gives a great description of abdominal separation and a great self-test that you can do at home. And when you're on my website, again, you just go to the article index and pick abdominal separation. And what it is abdominal separation is a stretching of the midline tissue. A lot of people are confused about this and they hear, oh, separation. Oh, what does that mean? It's not like a rip. It's not like a tear. It's not that the tissues are disconnected from one another. What it means is that rectus abdominis, that's now we're back to our six-pack muscle, is spread apart because the linea alba, that connective tissue right on top, has stretched apart. And that's because of the hormones of pregnancy stretches connective tissue in conjunction with just the constant pressure of your uterus expanding against that muscle. And sometimes it stretches and it widens a little bit too much. Now, if you have abdominal separation, you want to do some of the splinting techniques along with your transverse abdominis isolations, along with your belly scooping. And I'm not going to get into deeply that, but I just really wanted to mention that so that you know where to go in your body. Because if you've had a C, you may or may not have abdominal separation. That could be part of it too. So the last thing I want to talk about is scar mobilization techniques. And this happens once your scar is completely healed. A lot of times the pain and discomfort that we feel along our scar is due to little adhesions that can form from your scar onto the underlying tissues. So scar mobilization technique is a good way of dealing with that pain. Scar tissue is also, because it's laid down in this big jumble, not as elastic as other tissues. So scar mobilization techniques increase elasticity of the scar. So what you want to start with, there are a couple of ways to do this. Get some massage oil or some nice thick cream that you would use on your body because you want to have a nice, easy, almost a Swedish massage type stroke. And take one finger or hand and place it on one end of your scar and push in a little bit. And you want to really anchor that section of your scar. Then with your other hand, start on the inside and just massage very lightly along the length of your scar. So this will start getting some elasticity back in lengthwise along your scar. Be gentle. You don't want to be poking in there. It might be a little bit tender, just a nice, long, easy stroke. You want to do 5 or 6 on one side, change your hands, 5 or 6 on the other, and then do a repeat back and forth, gently creating elasticity in your scar. So that's a first, just really gentle scar mobilization technique. Another technique, again, we're always going to anchor one end of the scar to start with, is then you can take your fingertips anchoring on one side, take the other hand, and with your fingers go across the scar very gently, little up and down movement, up and down along the length of your scar. You can move your fingertips back and forth, and of course we have one side completely anchoring. And there's another scar mobilization technique that you can use. When you've done a fair amount of scar mobilization technique, you can move on to things that don't anchor one end of your scar. And you can use two hands together, rolling up and down just a little bit along your scar. You can come from the midline and slowly press outward in both directions equally. So you can see what we're doing is on the one hand, we're going across the scar, and on the other side, we're moving along the length of the scar. So you're really creating mobilization techniques on each level. And then the third and the most advanced scar mobilization technique, if you want to use this one, is you'll find that once you've done a little bit of this, that you can actually pick up your scar a little bit if it's not adhered to the underlying tissue, and you can actually very gently roll it a little bit between your fingertips. Don't worry if you never get to that mobilization technique. You can just stay fine. You don't want to do that if it's too tender. Fine, don't do that one. Just stay along the length of your scar and slightly up and down. So scar mobilization techniques help speed healing for your scar. Your scar will not always be a mound on the outside of your body. It will go down, and it will subside slowly over time in that first year. It takes a while, and it is common to have tenderness not just along the scar, but generalized along that belly. And the reason why is because your skin was cut. And we have a lot of nerve endings in our skin. So right now I know low rider pants are in style. Well, ow, that might not be what you want to wear when you have when you're recuperating from the sea. Get some pull-on pants that you can pull on that maybe have an elastic waist so that you can make sure that you don't have, whether it's a skirt, a pant, or even your underwear, you know, it's time to kind of be a little bit dorky, not wear low-rider stuff, so that you don't have anything pressing on your scar or on those tissues when you're in that healing phase. So, I've talked for almost an hour straight. Feel free to use my website. There's a lot of other great information that's on my website that can help you out even more deeply. Once again, I'm just going to do a quick mention of my book and my DVD. They are about reconditioning after pregnancy. My book is called Exercise After Pregnancy, How to Look and Feel Your Best, and my DVD, Bounce Back Fast, Postnatal Core Conditioning. And if you go to my website, befitmom.com, you can find out more information about those two products. So thanks for listening today. I hope you got a lot out of it. I know we covered a lot of stuff, so feel free to just go back into the website and read on your own time and take all of this information in. And I want to thank Tiffany for having me today. It was great to be on.
Thank you, Helene. You had offered an incredibly informative discussion. I'm a registered nurse, and I learned things I didn't know. So thank you. And I'm going to actually try some of these exercises myself, even though I'm 2.5 years postpartum. I don't think it's ever really too late, huh?
It's never too late. And that's an interesting thing, because a lot of women end up kind of still pregnant looking. Well, it turns out these exercises will flatten your abs. Even if you've got a kid in college, these exercises will flatten your abs.
Well, I'm definitely going to be trying them out. I peeked at your website when you were directing us to visit the website, and I encourage everybody to take a peek at it, because there's a plethora of information and resources available out there. I know that I just had a couple small questions that I wanted to ask you, and I'm rewinding all the way back to the beginning of the session when you were talking about the fascia and the should nots, and you had mentioned not to carry the baby in the front pack or the sling, that a stroller was preferable. And I was wondering, for how long should you wait?
About 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks. Now, your baby is lightweight when she is first born, so it's perfectly okay to carry your baby in your arms, because that's when you're using arm muscles and back muscles. That's what's doing the work. It's when your baby is in a sling or front pack and your baby is hanging off your body and you don't have a good abdominal wall support, a good contraction there to really support your spine. And those are the positions that can stress the abdominal wall. Carrying your baby in your arms, absolutely no problem.
And what is the standard average fascia healing time? About 6 to 8 weeks
It's 6 weeks is the standard time. Most people will find their scar healing quicker than 6 weeks. And you'll look down at maybe 3 or even 4 weeks postpartum, and you'll think, "Oh, I'm pretty much done." Well, because those tissues have direct blood flow, they heal faster. Fascia, indirect blood flow, no. You've got to wait. So it's more of a 6 to 8 week window.
Okay. And then I just had one last question about your scar mobilization technique.
Mm-hmm.
Is it ever too late to start with that?
Well, what happens in daily life, as we move along, if you've never do scar mobilization techniques, just our getting up in and out of chairs, especially twisting type moments, you know, reaching down into the dishwasher, picking something up and then putting it up onto the shelf, those kind of movements where we twist and we move in three dimensions actually tend to mobilize, stretch that underlying tissue. So most people, once you're a year or year and a half postpartum from a C, your scar is not adhered anymore. It's naturally has released a little bit. Now, if you're feeling tenderness right along your scar, that means you might have some adhesions, and you can try out some of these scar mobilization techniques. But for most women, once they get that far beyond, it's usually not a problem. But if it is still for you, you can definitely try these techniques.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're
welcome. Anybody else have any questions that they would like to add? If so, just hit *6 to unmute yourself. All right.
Hello.
Well, it was an absolute... Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Jamie Ackerley from New York.
Welcome, Jamie.
I'm a certified postpartum doula. I've actually had 3 C-sections myself. And I've actually was interested in listening to what you had to say, because I just recently had a hysterectomy. I am 8 weeks... I want to say postpartum. I am 8 weeks post-op. And looking to not have what occurred after my 3rd C-section happened this time. I had some pretty bad muscle separation, actually at the, I shouldn't say muscle, at the scar site itself, there was some really bad adhesions, and I had a very bad indentation from where the scar had collapsed on itself. So I had a plastic surgeon available this time, and he was able to do a scar revision after the hysterectomy. So I'm looking, like I said, I was very interested in hearing what you had to say, because I know all of these techniques will apply to me as well.
Right.
Even though I didn't have a baby. My one question is, when you were talking about the transverse abdominis exercise, the first
mm-hmm.
one, I tend to be a chest breather rather than a belly breather.
Right.
So how do I, that feeling, that tight feeling, it's going to be below my belly button?
Yes.
Okay.
And here's a great tip for that. And it's a common problem. What your breathing technique is widespread, so don't feel like you're alone.
Yep.
If you take your hands and put them on each side of your ribs, so your thumb is on the back of your ribs.
Mm-hmm.
When you inhale, you want to feel the back of your rib cage expanding.
Okay.
So ideally, when you inhale, the rib cage expands in three dimensions and then will actually release and naturally collapse in three dimensions on the exhale. So working that three-dimensional breathing is really key. And because you're in the fitness industry, you're probably familiar with fitness bands, the exercise lasagna.
Yeah.
Well, if you take one of those wide bands and put it across your lower ribs so it comes underneath your breasts in the front, cross it, and give it a little tug, and you can do this sitting, standing, lying on the ground. Inhale, and really focus your inhale on pushing that exercise elastic out.
Out, okay.
Is another great technique. Now, I want to you mentioned belly breathing. I don't like the yoga forceful expansion of the abdominal wall during inhale. Overdoing it doesn't help. What we want to do is separate the function of the diaphragm out from the transverse abdominis. Now, a lot of times in yoga, you don't get that rib cage breathing, but you get this forceful overinflation of the lower belly. Well, that's not good technique either, especially when you're postpartum. We want to have the rib cage three-dimensionally moving in and out while we do whatever we want to with the belly. So kind of two different, I'm not going to go all the way into belly breathing. I call my technique three-dimensional breathing.
So it's similar to the Pilates 10. I've taken Pilates before,
yes.
and it's the 10. You inhale and exhale, and you hold it, and you do it. You're giving us three repetitions where they give you 10. And on that 10th one, your abs are, you could cut diamonds off of them. They're so rock hard.
Right,
okay.
Right. Pilates will, correct Pilates breathing is three-dimensional breathing.
Yep.
I just cue it a little bit differently. I find in the classroom it's just people get it a little bit better when they're touching the back of their ribs and they're feeling them move.
Great, great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you for joining in, and thank you, Helene, for an informative chat once again, and it was a pleasure to have you join us
thank
as our
you.
Guest today.
And it was fun.
It was fun. Listeners, please be sure to visit Helene's website again at www.befitmom.com. Check out our upcoming teleclasses, webinars, and so much more at www.pamperedpregnantandbeyond.com. Have a wonderful day.